So this morning, our scripture comes, our message comes out of James 4, 1 through 10. I must tell you as we begin before I pray over the word and the message, it's pointed. I would be remiss if I did not tell you it's pointed, and I'll tell you why here shortly. It's fairly brief in the message. There are two scripture readings, and we'll talk about those as well. Only one is listed, and obviously the reason there's only one listed is the two readings that I will give you are identical, but in different translations. But I share this with you just to say that part of my job as your shepherd is to serve you in many roles, but one is to try to step on your toes every now and then. And in doing so, when I step on your toes, I've actually stepped on mine as well. And so this message comes to you as directly as I can get it to you and share it with you this morning. And it comes from a conversation, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I give you a heads up. This is where we're going. So what I invite you to do is either read along with me in your pew Bibles, or if you're at home on Facebook and you're following us on Facebook Live, grab a Bible and try to read along with us in James 4. Now, you're going to be in a different translation. If you have your personal Bibles with you, you're going to be in a different translation. And that's okay, because the unique part of this message this morning is it's going to be shared with you out of two separate translations and identical verses. So with that said, I just invite you to be prepared as we go to the Lord in His Word here in just a few seconds. So with that, let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we ask that you be present with us this morning as we share in your word and help those words to lift off the page to nurture our spirit and our souls. Be with us this morning as we share in the message that has been prepared out of your word. Be gracious and kind to us as we reflect on ourselves, as this message will require us to look at ourselves maybe in a different way. Possibly, quite possibly, a reflection of ourselves that we got up this morning and looked at. Be with us as we share in both conversation and your word this morning, and also be with us as we celebrate and worship you today, because that's what today is all about, worshiping you and lifting you up, Lord, for your blessings in our life. So be with us now as we read your word and share in this message. We ask all this in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, we're in James 4. And we're going to begin in 1 and go to 10. Now, I'm going to be in the New Living Translation in the first reading. And in my Bible, it says it's going to be, and your message is titled off of that. It's called Closing the Gap, but The title to this passage in chapter 4 is called Drawing Close to God. Now, that's not what you're going to hear the other translation called The Message tell you. But again, this is drawing close to God. So listen to these words very closely. If you're not following along, pay close attention to the words that you hear this morning. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? James asked. Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you the enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and this world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. This is the infallible word of God. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning, and I hope you all are well this morning. Some of our congregants are feeling a little ill, and so we keep them in our thoughts and prayers this morning. I do welcome you back to worship. This is our first Sunday of the month, and so we are inside, and if all goes well and no falling weather next Sunday and beyond for the month of June, we will continue our worship services outside. As always, it truly is great to see each of you today. Today's message is brief. I know that I'll have to prove that to you before noon, but it is brief. I had the extreme pleasure of running into friends this past week at the dollar store in the parking lot over there in Mint Spring. And everybody goes to the dollar store, and now it seems to be the hangout. And so every time you try to make a brief stop, you get held up, and I don't know why I was rushed. Our conversation in the parking lot was about 45 minutes. But we talked about many things while standing in the parking lot. We ended up talking about God and how He impacts our lives, and how we, as younger people, we seem to be maybe at a distance from God. But as we get older, we seem to close the gap a bit in this relationship, and that's the title of your message this morning. I was taken back by our conversation, and thanks to our friends, and there you're also your friends, you know them well, this week's planned message was scrapped, maybe put in a file for a later date, and this morning's message was brought forward because I think it's challenging. In our conversation, out of our conversation, there was a theme, a message. And that message speaks directly to each one of us on how we need to close the gap sometimes in our relationship with God. How do we do that? How do we live in a world that's so divisive, that's so messed up, it seems to be? How do we serve as Christians and follow Christ and do it with Him in mind always, and less of ourselves in our minds? How do we do that? Well, it's simple. There's a simple answer, and it tells you in James this morning how to do that. But I want to tell you a quick story about my mom. I can remember this story just like it was yesterday. I was in high school, and I told Mom one time that morning, or that Saturday evening, I said, "Mom, why do I have to get up in the morning and go to church? I mean, after all, I went last week, and I've actually went the week before, and I really just don't think I need to go. I'm good." My mom stood there for a second, placed her hands on her hips, and I knew, well, here it comes. And she said the following to me, "Why do you need to go, young man? It's because you think you're good." And there it was, standing in our living room, a dose of humility. Humility as Christians is required. As Christians, we need a dose of humility just about every day we walk in our faith. Serving Christ doesn't begin with us first and Him second. It begins with Him first. Serving Christ is all about Him. It's somewhere in what we need to understand about this is He comes first always. We think we're good, but we're nowhere close to being good enough. Serving God is our duty, and we must do it with humility. We are abundantly blessed because we are Christians, not because we're good enough to receive the blessing. We are blessed because God loves us and we serve Him daily. This morning we learn in James that a right relationship or a solid relationship, in his words, with God is essential. In doing so, we need to be cautious about what we ask God for. I've shared with you from this pulpit that we need to have a personal relationship with God and we need to pray with Him and talk with Him daily. Well, what I advocate to you this morning is those conversations aren't just once or twice per day. They're all the time. They're ongoing. They're like God living with you, being in your presence each and every day, all the time, 24/7. That's how we serve our Lord and Savior. What I have shared with you is extremely important. And I advocate that you've got to add to that. You've got to expand upon that. We should not ask God's blessings on the things that satisfy us. We should not ask God to satisfy our cravings or our desires. In doing so, we are ignoring the fact that as we seek those selfish pleasures for ourselves, we align ourselves with the devil. And that's exactly what we read in James this morning. Now, I have no problem for us to pray for someone and ask God's divine intervention in their lives. That's exactly what we should do. And yes, we pray for an outcome. I understand that. But what we truly should pray for is God's will and God's guidance in our life. We all have specific outcomes, but those outcomes are selfish. And what we need to realize is if we pray for God's guidance and God's will, He will bless us with the outcomes that please us. But He must come first. God desires to give us an abundant life so that we can pass it on to others. And as Christians, we do live in an abundance. God blesses us so that we can live according to His plan, not ours. And unfortunately, we confuse that. We share in our blessings, we live and dwell in our blessings, and a lot of times we get very selfish. And we get very pointed ourselves and we find ourselves at a point where we're not serving God at all. We're carrying the badge of honor called Christian, but we're not serving God. We're serving ourselves. As Christians, we can experience the freedom that God offers by drawing ourselves close to God and asking Him for His guidance and His help. But we must, without exception, we must accept His will. And we must accept the fact that we cannot live this life on our own. This is extremely hard for you and I to grasp because we have a hard time molding ourselves and modeling ourselves with the attitude of submission and humility. And quite frankly, friends, again, I step on my own toes here as well, but sometimes we don't have an ounce of either. We're not submissive or humble. And that's not who we should be as a servant of Jesus Christ. These humble attitudes James speaks of are essential in spiritual growth. Why, you may ask? Well, it's quite simple. Humble attitudes show a willingness to be guided by God. Let me say that again. Humble attitudes show a willingness to be guided by God. So it doesn't go like this: God, you hang on my six and I'll take care of it. If I need you, I'll call you. It's the other way around. God's in front of you and you're following Him. He's not a follower of yours, you're a follower of Him. Sometimes you're going to have to get out of your own way to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for me, that can be challenging. I'm a big guy to move. Sometimes it's hard to move me out of my own way. And you're just like me. You're just like me. Many of us already know from our experience in our life as we get older, and this deserves repeating, by the way, the way to self-pride only leads to confusion and strife. We know when we put ourselves first and we live in the world and we strive to be prideful, that just leads to confusion and complication and strife. We know this, but yet we allow Satan to enter our lives somewhere down the path of walk of faith, and here we are, again, a prideful people. True contentment only comes when we submit ourselves to God and follow His plan. Friends, humility is the key to closing the gap. I celebrated my 52nd birthday this month. And in 52 years, I really never thought about the gap between me and God. Never looked at it that way. And over the last 5 or 6 years, especially since I've been serving you in the pulpit, I've studied far more than I ever anticipated to bring you messages on Sunday morning and throughout the week and prepare for things that befall you in your life so that I can support you. And I've really never looked at the gap between me and God. But that day in the parking lot, the Dollar General store, after that conversation, my little 2-minute shopping spree inside, I looked at the gap between me and God. My friends had called to attention that the gap exists in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. So then I started to focus on it. And here's what I'll ask you this morning. How big is your gap? You see, you don't recognize, perhaps because of the world we live in and the things we do as Christians, you don't realize how far you are off the rail. Some days you're right in step with Him, and a lot of days you're not. You're out here treading on your own. How far is that gap between you and your Savior? Well, the older we get, we seem to recognize and we start to localize our study and we try to bring God closer to us. Why do we do that? Well, it's because, frankly, we start to try to close the gap between God and us because we can see the gate. Many of us are closer to that gate than some in this room. We're all in different paths. But, you know, we talk about entering eternity. Nobody knows their end date. You're just living in the dash. How far is your gap from God? Well, friends, in our daily walk, we should humbly submit ourselves to God's will and close that gap this very second. Because you have no idea when your time is. You have no idea the distance between where you're seated or standing and the gate where you will enter or have the opportunity to enter heaven. And in order to get through that gate, you're going to have to close the gap between you and your Savior. Because it's narrow. It's not as broad as the world we live in. As we draw close to God, we will renew our spiritual lives. As we seek God first in our life, we begin to understand what peace looks like. And when we have peace, worry goes away. Stress goes away. All the things that we're tugging and pulling on and playing tug of war with, they go away. Because who's in front? Christ is in front. And we are following Him. It's not the other way around. You're not going to part the Red Sea on your own. It takes God Almighty to help you part the Sea of Life. I want to read you the same passage that we read in the New Living Translation. I want to read it to you out of the Message. Now, you might want to hold on to your seat cushions, because it's going to rock your world a little bit. Same scripture, different translation. The New Living Translation says, drawing closer to God. This translation says, get serious. Meaning, it doesn't matter how old you are or where you are in your life. You might want to get serious because you have no idea what tomorrow holds. You have no idea whether you have a tomorrow left. Listen to James in this translation. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? He asked. Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and you fight for it in deep inside yourselves. It's spiritual, is what he's saying. It's right here. And you want what you want. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what you don't have. It isn't yours, and you'll risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you would be asking for what you have no right to. James declares in this reading, you don't have a right to what you're asking God for. That's why you don't ask Him for it, because you know it's selfish. Then he calls us, he says this, you're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God, he says. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies with God. Doing so. And do you suppose God doesn't care? He asked. The proverb has it this way, that God is a fiercely jealous God, and what He gives in love is far better than anything you will ever find in the world. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willingly humble. So let God work His will in you, James declares. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce in your life. Thus goes your worry. Thus goes your fear. Thus goes your anxiety, because you have filled your life with the Lord and Savior and you have peace. He goes on to say, Say a quiet yes to God, and He'll be there in no time. Meaning, call upon Him first, and He's coming. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and the games are over. Get serious, this translation declares, and get really serious about serving the Lord. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you're ever going to get back on your feet. This too is the infallible Word of God, translated into modern day language. There's a story told about a man who entered a contest to determine who was the most humble person. And when the man won, he was given a beautiful badge of merit. But several weeks later, he was disqualified when he decided to wear it. Humility comes in the service for the Lord. We're serving Him, not Him serving us. Friends, I told you this message was short, and I'm closing it now. Here's your 1 minute and your takeaway for today's message. To be humble means to recognize that we are not self-sufficient, but we are dependent on God for everything we desire, everything we need, and everything He wills us without our knowledge. It comes directly from Him. Our lives, we are dependent on God for. Our salvation, we are dependent on God for. Our hope, our strength, and our abilities. Those things that we call our talents are gifts from God. You and I have no power. As good as we may think we are, we cannot achieve any of these without God first. When we submit our will to God's will, we witness His power and our character grows. In layman's terms, we begin to look more like Jesus. But achieving this humility like Jesus takes a little bit of time. Now, the question is, how much more time do we have? I can't answer that. But I'm going to err on the side of caution and say I don't have long. And I'm going to try to get it right. I'm going to fail on many occasions, but that's not going to be from the lack of trying. Being humble means acknowledging that we are not perfect and we need God's guidance. And we desperately need God's grace. It is recognizing that everything we have is truly, really God's. Every single thing in our life that we possess, our spouses, our family, our possessions, our faith, all belongs to God Almighty. Our accomplishments and our possessions are not solely ours. I know that's hard to understand, but they are gifts from God. You have been given those blessings because of your faith in Him. When we grasp this and we begin to live in this understanding, we align our will with God and we rely on His strength, not our own. And when we do this, our world begins to shift and change for the better. Jesus Christ is the example of serving with humility. Despite being fully God, Jesus humbled Himself and became human to serve us and to die for our sins. Jesus washed the feet of disciples. God Almighty Himself bent down on His knees and washed a man's feet. That's humility. Jesus Himself demonstrated compassion to the sick and forgave those who persecuted. He also forgave the soldiers who nailed Him to a cross and stuck a spear through His chest. That is humility. In order for us to serve a humble God like Jesus, we must be humble ourselves. He must lead and we must follow. Because of His humility, Jesus was able to live out His greatest purpose in life. Friends, being humble is not what you may, it's not as hard as you may think it is. Being humble is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking yourself less. It means don't think less of who you are. Just don't think of yourself first. Think of God first. And when you do, He will bless you and your family and all the things that you desire in your life in service to Him. Here's your takeaway. In these final words today, what is your purpose? Humility doesn't come of yourself. It comes in service to Jesus Christ. It comes thinking of yourself less and putting Him first always. Each of you, each of us, on a daily basis needs a huge dose of humility in the most arrogant world known to man currently. If you look at anything that's going on in and around us, you realize that we see it face to face and we live it every day in this world. Humility is the way we serve. What is your purpose? How far, how long, or how wide is your gap between you and your God? And what is your purpose? If you understand and live in humility and place God first and allow His will to work in your life, don't be selfish about what you ask God for. Ask Him for His will. When you do this, you will truly see your purpose. Narrow the gap. Close the gap. And you'll not have to worry about the distance to the gate. Amen.